that scripture passage I shared with you earlier from 2 Kings, the story of the healing of Naaman, is sort of in the background as we listen to our scripture from Luke. It comes from chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was none found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let us pray. O Lord, source of our healing through Christ, thank you for the power of your word to heal us, to save us, to make us whole. Help us be open now to your word as it works upon us to accomplish your will and your purpose in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I actually want to begin this sermon where I ended my last sermon about 4 months ago before I stepped out of the picture to begin the sabbatical. 4 months ago, I stood here and expressed my gratitude to you for the gift of a sabbatical, and today I want to return to this spot to say thank you again to you and to God for that gift. It was a great time of refreshment and renewal and reading and reflection and research. I know that many things happened in my life and in the life of our family while we were away. Lots of things happened in the life of yourself, your family, our congregational family during that time as well. And we'll have more opportunities to talk more one-on-one or maybe in small groups about what the sabbatical was like for me, what it was like for you. But I really want to return first to that word that was here 4 months ago, the word of thanks to you, gratitude to you for this gift. You might remember that I closed out that July 16th sermon with a story about a pastor in his church. He was getting ready to step out of the picture on sabbatical, and during the worship service, various symbols of ministry were shared with others in the congregation, especially the associate staff, the lay leaders, the church board, others in places of leadership in the congregation. And one of those things that was shared was a little doll named after the pastor, Pastor Bud. It was one he had gotten years ago, but it was given to them with a sign on it, and the sign said, "WWBD, what would Bud do?" So that anytime they and others in the congregation faced problems, decisions, struggles during the sabbatical, they could just look at the doll and ask, "Now, what would Bud do?" Well, eventually Bud did return from the sabbatical, and many of those signs of leadership were returned. And when the doll was returned, this time it had a different sign on it. It didn't say WWBD. In this case, it said WFIOFO. We figured it out for ourselves. Maybe there were experiences like that during the sabbatical for you all individually and as a congregation, where you were working on figuring some things out for yourself. I think that a congregational period like that, for you and for me, myself, a sabbatical, can be a great opportunity for a congregation to learn, and maybe even to relearn, that its life and mission don't hinge entirely on the presence and work of ordained clergy. That's part of what we experience. Even when the pastor is away, God is just as present, just as much at work. You are just as much the people of God, just as much about the worship of God and the work of God, just as called in Christ, just as following the way of Christ. A sabbatical, I think, has a way of reminding us that, reminding not only you all, but us clergy too, that the church doesn't rise or fall based on the pastor's own exclusive productivity or effort. That's part of it, but the church doesn't rise or fall based on our own human efforts and productivity, but the work belongs to everyone in the people of God. Remember that our fellowship and our fruitfulness aren't built on the foundation of Pastor Kevin, aren't built on the foundation of any one particular deacon or other deacons. Our life as a congregation isn't built on the foundation of maybe other leaders in the church or particular committees. All those as individuals and as groups are important, but ultimately the congregation and its work, and hopefully this is part of what you experienced during the sabbatical too, the life and work of the congregation, it's built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and his gospel. That was true from the beginning of the sabbatical to its end. So I think that a sabbatical can be a good experience for myself and for us as a congregation to reconnect. Not only reconnect like we're doing here today, but during that sabbatical to reconnect with the true source of our life, our salvation, our power, our calling. Whether it's ultimately accomplished and achieved is not so much about my capacities or your capacities, but more about God's power. The coming in and the bringing of the kingdom isn't mainly about our perseverance. It's about God's promises and God's power. That's why the most appropriate response to God's presence and God's action is gratitude. Gratitude. I think we see that in our scripture passage here today from Luke. Jesus continues his journey toward Jerusalem, the place of his suffering and his death. And along the way, he travels in the border region where tensions between Jews and Samaritans is even more heightened and elevated. He encounters a group of 10 lepers who are keeping their distance and shouting out, declaring themselves unclean. They call to Jesus for mercy and for help. All of this is in keeping with Jewish law. Remember that the term leprosy really covered a whole range of skin diseases that basically excluded one or cut one off from the life of the community, especially from the religious community. In many ways, to be a leper was to be invisible, to be cut off, to be isolated, to be unseen. What, though, does Luke tell us? He says, when Jesus saw them. Now, Luke doesn't mean that the lepers just happened to cross through Jesus' field of vision. He means something actually more deeper. He means that Jesus truly and deeply saw them. In other words, Jesus didn't just see lepers. He saw human beings who had leprosy. How often when we in our own experience or the experience of others who get sick, we end up sort of feeling defined by our illness, our condition. Our disease becomes who we are in a way, in our own eyes, or the way other people perceive us. But here in our text, Jesus didn't just see lepers. He saw human beings with leprosy. He saw through and beyond their disease and recognized their dignity, their personhood, and maybe they weren't used to being noticed in that way. Most of the time, folks looked past them, looked around them, or just didn't look at them, looked away from them. But what did Jesus do? Jesus, we're told, saw them. Jesus looked at them with eyes of mercy that could take the full measure in of their suffering and their need and their circumstances, their need for mercy. Isn't that really where gratitude starts? It doesn't start with what you and I see. It starts with the assurance that God sees us and knows us. It's not so much about how we see things, but how God sees us. Remember that thankfulness doesn't begin primarily within you. It begins outside of you with the promise that Jesus sees and Jesus knows, the eyes of Jesus, the eyes of God. Thankfulness begins by knowing that you're seen, truly seen by Jesus. Lots of times we talk about gratitude as if it's something that we, in and of our own human capabilities and capacities, have to sort of work up and produce. You know, be grateful, be thankful. But doesn't that just turn us more inward on ourselves and our own capacities than letting it start with God and what God's doing? Gratitude isn't so much what you or I as human beings bring to the table in the divine human relationship. Gratitude is the fruit of God's initiative, God's action, God seeing us first, God reaching out to us in mercy through Christ. Gratitude is what happens whenever you recognize that however bad your circumstances, however deep your suffering, however hard your troubles, however relentless your suffering, or however uncertain your future, in the midst of all that, to know that I'm not invisible to Jesus. I'm not unseen by Jesus or overlooked by Jesus. Instead, our scripture passage today says, He sees you. He sees into you. He sees into your circumstances and is responsive to your circumstances. That's crucial. Jesus' perception is prior to my perception or your perception. Gratitude starts by knowing that He perceives and sees. That's what enables our own perception. That's what happens here in our scripture passage. Go back to the story again. Jesus commands these lepers to go show yourselves to the priest so that your healing can be confirmed and verified. And Luke puts it in an interesting way. He says it's while they're on their way that they're healed. It's not healed, go on your way. It's go. And as they go, they're healed. In the trust and in the obedience, in the going in faith, they're healed. They trust and obey and receive the blessing of God's deliverance. Then Luke says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. There's that phrase again. When he saw. Now Jesus is seen. Now he sees. Except this time, it's not Jesus doing the seeing, it's the leper doing the seeing. And he sees. He sees that his skin isn't just fresh and healthy again, though it is that. Like a young boy, Naaman, remember in that story? It's like looking at his young self again. This leper sees. He sees that his skin is fresh and healthy. He sees it in the sense of recognition, but he also perceives. He sees at a deeper level. He sees that what's happened, this isn't just the result of good fortune or something happening at the biological or cellular level, though that's true. This is coming from somewhere else, someone else. This isn't just a natural process. It's God's work. He sees. You see, he hasn't just gotten better. He's gotten mercy, and that's different. He's gotten better, yes, but he's also gotten mercy. So what does he do? He makes a U-turn, we're told, and returns back to the source of that mercy. That's what he does. He praises God, throws himself at Jesus' feet, and worships him. He acknowledges who Jesus is in this process, but his ultimate praise is going to God the one true living God. It takes him into this posture of humility and adoration. Jesus has raised him up. And so what does he do? He bends down low. Jesus has raised him up, but he bends down low. Isn't that often where gratitude takes us? To our knees. To our knees. A couple of years ago, at a church banquet, actor Denzel Washington spoke about the importance of having a fundamental attitude of gratitude on a daily basis and living that way in gratitude for God's goodness. He said, give thanks for blessings every day, every day. Embrace gratitude, encourage others. It is impossible to be grateful and hateful at the same time. I pray, he says, that you put your slippers way under your bed at night so that when you wake in the morning, you have to start on your knees to find them. And while you're down there, say thank you. A bad attitude, he says, is like a flat tire. Until you change it, you're not going anywhere. Now, to say that the man who had experienced healing from his leprosy had experienced an attitude adjustment, that's part of it, but that would be just a small part of it. It's much more than that. What this man had experienced wasn't just a miracle of dermatology. It was also a miracle of ophthalmology in this case. His spiritual sight was healed. He saw and declared that his healing, his wholeness, his deliverance had come from the one true living God. That's what he saw. He's no longer, to go back to what we said earlier, he's no longer just the man with leprosy. He's not the leper. He's not just the man with leprosy anymore. Now he's the man who has been rescued, restored. He's the man who's no longer defined by his disease. He's defined by the mercy and the goodness and the love and faithfulness of God. That's who he is. He's a person who's been drawn back into relationship with God, drawn back into relationship with humanity. In other words, he has been saved. Luke ends the story with Jesus saying to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." That's a blessing that Jesus gives to others in Luke's gospel. It basically means your faith has saved you. The term used there for healing, wellness, is the same term as salvation, deliverance, rescue. And notice with me that in this particular case, it took an outsider to recognize the grace of God when it was there and for what it was. When the man was healed, when he saw that he was healed, he praised God and fell at the feet of Jesus. That's the kind of wonderful climax we'd expect in one of these kinds of gospel stories. He, says Jesus, fell at the feet of Jesus, was healed. And then Luke adds, puts this right there at the end, and he was a Samaritan. Why do you stick that in there at the end to sort of push it home? An outcast, a foreigner, a stranger, in the eyes of many, the enemy. And so, the reach of God's grace has no limits. No one's spiritual sight, not yours or mine either, is beyond the hope of restoration and healing. God can open eyes and God can create grateful worshipers anywhere and everywhere that he wants, including right here among us this morning. In fact, the reason we're here today, singing our songs, saying our prayers, presenting our gifts, listening to the Word of God, is because we're all the recipients of God's undeserved mercy in Christ. And that's what holds us together here in the presence of God. In the presence of Jesus, like in this story, in the presence of Jesus, when you're in the presence of Jesus, like we are this morning, all our other divisions, our distinctions, our differences, all those things, when you're in the presence of Jesus, start to recede. And what comes to the fore is our common, deep need for the mercy of God in Christ, for grace and healing. I think that Sunday morning worship like today is so important because it's one of the ways that you and I on a regular basis sort of come back to the source of our mercy, the source of our life, the source of our salvation. We return week by week to the one who truly and deeply sees us. We come back here Sunday by Sunday, the one who really, truly sees us and knows us and cares about us and loves us and forgives us and redeems us. Come back to that source of mercy. That's what gratitude looks like. Gratitude looks like where you are and what you're doing right now in the presence of God. Gratitude. But we also know that gratitude is more than just a Sunday activity. It has to be a daily discipline, a way day by day of putting your life into the presence of God. I like the way that Vance Havner has described it when he says, our biggest problem in the church today is this vast majority of Sunday morning Christians who claim to have known the Master's cure and who return not at other times to thank him by presence, prayer, testimony, supporting his church. In fact, the whole Christian life, he says, is one big thank you, the living expression of our gratitude to God for his goodness. But we take him for granted, and what we take for granted, we never take seriously. Gratitude. Gratitude is one of the most fundamental, critical barometers of your spiritual health and condition, and of my spiritual health and condition. When you're not cultivating your awareness of God's blessings or responding to God's grace and mercy with thankfulness, that's critical because when you're not doing that, you're more exposed to the dangers of idolatry, of putting your ultimate hope and trust in something other than the one true source of our life and our salvation. When you're not cultivating your awareness of God's goodness and gifts, you can lose sight of God as the one creator, provider, and savior. That can happen. You can end up lavishing more praise on yourself than on the Lord. You can end up thinking that everything that's being accomplished is my doing. I'm self-made, self-determined, instead of realizing the abundance of God's gifts and presence and work. We can start ending up treating God's blessings like they're our achievements. That's a danger when we're not grateful. We can begin to place our hope in things that can't give us the peace and the security that we're seeking after, things that don't have the power to save. So you see how when gratitude isn't there, our worship can get screwed up and misdirected toward other things that don't have the power to save, to give life, to heal. And whatever that thing may be that becomes our object of worship, it becomes the object of our service too. Gratitude is crucial to your spiritual condition and your spiritual health. Otherwise, we're more exposed to the dangers of idolatry. But what happens in our scripture passage today? Gratitude as an expression of faith does what? It brings us back We keep coming back, returning to the source of our mercy, our life and our salvation. We here today in this gathering are like the healed leper who comes back to know where the mercy came from and the life and the healing came from, and to give praise and thanks to the source of that, the one true living God. Like I mentioned earlier about the sabbatical, a sabbatical, I think, has a way of helping you as a congregation and me as a pastor reconnect with the one true source of our life and our salvation and our power. Otherwise, we can get caught up in my doing all the pastoral things that I'm doing, or you're doing all the things that you're doing as a congregation. We can lose sight that all of this, ultimately, it's not us. It's God. It's God present and God acting and God working. And part of the blessing of a sabbatical is that it can help remind me and you of that, where our power really comes from and our fruitfulness. The one true living God. When that happens, we're able, I think, to perceive more keenly that it's the presence of Christ and it's the word of Christ and it's the mercy of Christ that makes us the church. And when we see that and perceive that by the grace of God, we turn and we come back to the source of our mercy like we have today. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you are the one true living God, the only creator, provider, savior, sustainer. Thank you for using this time when I and your people here were apart to remind me and to remind them that it's ultimately all about your presence and your action, your faithfulness, and your love. Open our eyes to see that more fully, day by day. Give us grateful hearts that will guard against the dangers of idolatry and come back like we've done today, returning to you with praise and thanks for what you've done for us in Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.